and talking about student-student interactions, like think about a class size of, what was it? What was the one you gave the example, the grade 12 math with how many?
46.
Okay, you have 46 kids in the class. Well, what comes into play is something called Tajfel's social identity theory. And what happens is individuals create and identify with groups in order to define their social identities. As a way to cope with a large group, you all of a sudden start going into these subgroups. And what they call them, in-groups. You have the in-groups, and then you have the out-groups, right? So when you have a larger classroom, that what happens is a way to sort of function in that larger classroom when, to deal with your own social identity theory that actually says you form these groups to develop your self-esteem, that it actually helps you to feel better, that those outgroups are defined. And what happens, you have group differentiation, you start doing social comparison, you know, I'm not in that outgroup, you know, let's, and they start stereotyping, and what happens is the in-group is favored and the outgroup becomes more negative, stereotyped, and there's intergroup aggression that occurs. So in larger class sizes, it isn't just the teacher-student relationship, it's the relationship that students have with each other and how those in-groups and out-groups form. Teachers matter. So positive, what we know from the research is positive teacher-student relationships lead to higher academic motivation and academic success, increased student social-emotional skills, such as caring, empathy, and social responsibility. And these are factors, if we look at the mission of schooling, we know that that's really important. There's a recent study just came out a couple of months ago that in one of our premier journals called Child Development, the premier journal in the area of developmental psychology. And it was a study looking at academic success for at-risk kids. And they're trying to figure out what are the factors that happen in the classroom that lead to academic success. And you know what they found? The most important factor in supporting kids' academic success was emotional support from the teacher. That was what mattered. That was what they found, that was ongoing emotional support from the teachers that mattered for helping these at-risk grade one kids be successful. And again, it wasn't the instructional techniques. It was about providing the ongoing emotional support. Now, we know the mission of schools isn't just academic achievement. And I really, you know, this is my, I guess my broken record part, that the mission of schools is really not just academic achievement, is to promote social, emotional, caring, all these other things that are important for our society. So I really want to say that that is the mission of schools, despite other people who focus on just the academic achievement. And I know that's really hard for a lot of people. I know, you know, having two young kids and getting their report cards, and I just had a parent-teacher conference on Wednesday evening. The focus that gets so much on academic achievement, but over and over I learned from the research that it's really how children cope and make friendships and deal with their emotions, that those are the factors that will help them survive once they get into adulthood. So there's a need to educate the mind and the heart, not just the mind. I don't know if anyone saw this last August. It was it was in the New York Times, kind of a play on the No Child Left Behind, No Emotion Left Behind, but the idea that there's an inextricable link between learning academic achievement and emotions, and how you have to educate the heart as well as the mind. And I don't know if anyone was able to go to the Balancing Educating the Mind with Educating the Heart dialogue that was at UBC a year and a half ago. I guess it's almost 2 years ago now, where Desmond Tutu, Shireen Abadi, the Dalai Lama, Dr. Joanne Archibald, as well as Rabbi Zalman Schachter, talked about how do you balance educating the mind with educating the heart. And he talked about how important educating the mind, basically said, without educating the heart, has produced brilliant scientists who use their intelligence for evil. And he gave the example of Dr. Mengele from the Holocaust, remember, who did all those experiments. But what I'm arguing here is that small class sizes, which equals more caring, is that teachers are able to spend more time educating the heart as well as the mind. And this is so critical for thinking about our society. And I just love this quote. Every child requires someone in his or her life who is absolutely crazy about them. And so how important are teachers to students? That's really the question. Well, I did a study a couple of years ago at Hastings Community School, looking at, we call it the Hastings Community School Study, about fostering children's belonging to school through connections in school-related adults. And we really wanted to know a couple of questions. We wanted to know, do children identify a significant non-related adult in school? So we basically were wondering, if you ask them, are there any important adults to you at Hastings Elementary School, what would they say? And we really had no idea. We did grades 4 through 7, and we had no idea if they would say, yes, there's someone, or, you know, we didn't know. And then we also, besides that, we also asked them, well, what makes up an important, why isn't that adult important to you? What are the characteristics of an important adult? And then we also asked the question, we followed them for 2 years, and we wanted to know, if you have an important adult, does having an important adult year to year really matter? So it's the question, is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? So what would be the answer there? So first, the first study, so this first year we did 158 kids, 50% girls, 42% first language was English, so it really represented the diversity in Vancouver. Students in grade 4 through 6 were assessed over 2 periods. And we looked at a range of sort of dimensions. We looked at social, emotional adjustment, social responsibility, behaviors, academic motivation. We looked at a range of different factors that really covered the whole child and really took kind of an asset-based approach, you know, developmental assets and resiliency. So the research question one, I should ask you. So did they find anybody? Do you think they identified anybody? Yes, okay, good. You're right. So, and you sort of cut off, but number one up there identified as important adults for kids were teachers. 62% of the kids in the sample identified a teacher as a significant adult to them. And then others, well, it was so great. I loved it. You know, they said that vice principal, any vice principals or principals here will love it. But I also love the ones where we asked them, who is this important adult? What are their initials? What do they do at the school? Some kids actually say, I don't know what they do exactly. But they're really important to me. I just love that, you know, because there's this, it's something, again, about the relational nature. So then we also ask them again to describe, write down all the characteristics that make this adult important to you. Pick one of the adults and then describe what is it about them that makes them important. And I have to say something, you know, researchers never ask the kids these kind of questions. It's just amazing to me. We never go and ask the kids, what is it? Well, what do you think about this? And they loved it when we were doing the study because we told them that they're teaching us, that we don't know any of this stuff and they need to teach us. So I'm going to ask you. So next, the response categories. We took all the responses and we put them into categories, content analyzed them. And we found that 27% said supportive teaching was the most important thing. 42% that being nurturant and supportive was the most important thing. Positive personality traits was 22%, and other was 8%. And these were like, they speak German or something like that. things we couldn't quite categorize. But look at, nurturant, supportive was the number one thing the kids said that made adults important to them. It wasn't the teaching techniques. It was what the kids said. They said things like, she makes me forget all the bad things in my life, listens to me when I need her to, she is very kind to me, I can talk to him about my problems, he is always gentle, she cares about people's feelings, she will not just help you and send you off, she will check back on you and see how you are doing, he has kept me on the path to being great. I love that one. He likes me, you know, just like he likes me, and she's willing to share some of her own time to help me. It's really so simple. In fact, in one study that a colleague of mine, Shelley Emel, and I conducted several years ago at King George Secondary School, we asked kids, what do teachers do to show they care? What do teachers do to show they don't care? And I have to say, it was just so simple. The kids would say to me, and I'd love to hear from the students who are here, is the teachers who say hi to them in the hallway. That was an important factor in teachers who showed they care. And then we started asking them, what makes you cut a class or what makes you be motivated to do your homework for a class? And we looked at different groups of kids who were high achieving and kids who were at risk for school dropout. It all came down to not the content, but the teacher. The teacher is who made the difference. The kids said, I like this class because of that teacher. I'm interested in science this year because of that teacher. It didn't have to do with the subject matter. It really had to do with the teacher and how they perceived that teacher caring about them. So the is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? How do changes over time in perceptions of classroom supportiveness? So if you see or belonging result in student changes in empathy, perspective taking. And we looked at actually four different groups. And what we found is, and so here I'm going to just categorize, tell you what these mean. The what we looked at were kids who went from no one, time one and time two. So over across two school years, they said there's no adult that they have that care, that they see as important to them. Then we have the no one to someone. Those are kids who had no one in time one, and then they went to having someone. Now, the is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all group is they had someone important to them in year one, and in year two, they had no one. And finally, the group who had both someone and someone. And what we predicted is the kids who were stable, which means they went from no one to no one or someone to someone, would kind of stay the same. And kids who went from no one to someone would increase, and who went from someone to no one would decrease. And so what you see is that red bar. It's good to explain. And basically, that represents a change. So kids who went from having an important adult one year to having one that they didn't see as important to them or caring about them in year two decreased significantly on pro-social goals, so how much they did things to get along with others or shared help, cooperated, as well as school efficacy, how much they really believed in their sense of learning in school. They also went down quite dramatically in empathy and perspective taking. So not just sort of academic dimensions, they also were affected in terms of, I mean, look at empathy. Look, it's so interesting if you really look at that. The kids who went from someone to no one actually reduced significantly in empathy, but the kids who went from no one to someone really increased in empathy. So it really talks about the importance that teachers make in the lives of students. So I want to go back to three guiding principles. First of all, the development of the whole child, the school as a caring community, and the relationships as central. And what I argue here is that when it comes down to class size and class composition, we really have to think about the relational nature of the classroom and think about how do teacher-student and student relationships impact, or how are they impacted by class size. So what I argue is smaller classes equal caring classrooms. That it's critical, and also just to think we all, it's critical to our society that we identify the factors that assist children in becoming competent, caring adults and productive citizens, that we all share a stake in this. It's not just an education effort, it's a societal effort, and not just parents, but everyone in our society has an important role in doing this, and that research supports the need to create caring and supportive school environments that foster belonging and school success. Thank you.